The following is a presentation of ComedyVoices.com.
Yo, what up? This is In The Conversation, man. We have a wild one tonight, man. We getting crazy, like Stevie Wonder doing the dab, Mike Tyson on a hoverboard, and quiet ass whippings. Anyway, check it out. Peace.
You need something to get you through the workday? Well, good.
Because we've got a place for that.
Check out ComedyVoices.com for the comedy podcasts that'll turn your daily grind into a marathon of laughs. Stand Up Labs and UCB Comedy lead the way.
With an array of shows that'll fill all your comedy needs.
It's ComedyVoices.com, powered by digital media.
Coming to you from the top of the Stand Up New York Comedy Club. This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by ComedyVoices.com. Find your voice.
It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon, craziest Dominican you know, Vladimir Camayo, my cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, we are back. It is In The Conversation. This is Damian Lemon. As always, on my right hand side, I got
El Capitán Vladimir Camaño.
Ah, and on my left hand side, I got he's not here today.
Muhammad is not here today.
Young Muhammad is not here today, and Vlad is learning Snapchat.
I may put this on Instagram, actually.
Yeah, but you're not taping, you know, unless you're pressing that button.
It's taping. You see the...
This is your video jump.
Yeah, video. I'll probably chop it up later. But we here, man. This is the studio. Me and my man, D Lemon.
What's cracking, man?
I'm good, brother.
I just
got on the Snapchat. I don't know how to use it, though, D.
Well, turn it off right now, because you're on
it's
the
off.
Podcast.
We off now.
Shout out to the listeners. They're like, man.
Sorry, y'all. I'm on the Snapchat. I don't know how to use it.
Yeah.
So...
Snap them some yahins. Snap them some titties. What's your snap?
I'm not saying that. I don't want no random titties.
My man sent, Chris got some titties sent to him.
How does that even work?
He's going to yell out his Snapchat and some woman is going to be like, I'm going to deliver some titties.
Yeah, I mean, he said, your man said M-A-N-S-A-M-P, you know. Sometimes you just get some stuff.
Is that how it works?
This man is freshly engaged.
I know.
He is still like... Hey,
Shout out to Chris. He is engaged.
All titties will be considered. I got 1 year. Anyway.
Hilarious.
What's your Snapchat, though? Just so they know, Vlad.
Laughing Vlad.
Okay. Laughing Vlad. I'm beats being broke. I snap every so often, but you know, holla at your boy.
Holla at your boy.
Merry Christmas.
Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad. Happy Hanukkah. Post Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa.
We on day three of Kwanzaa. While I'm talking, I'm going to find out what day this is. I know it's not Umoja. I know it's not Kuji Chakalia, but we'll find out. We're going to talk about it. But until then, how was your Christmas?
Christmas was good, man. Hung out with my dad, mom. In the crib. My parents are great, dude.
Brother just wasn't around?
Brother was there. F Sharp was in the building.
Okay, shout out to him.
And my dad's at a point in his life, dude, where he doesn't want gifts. He wants experiences.
Okay.
If I was like, just get me a lobster and we good.
That's an experience?
He just wants to live. He doesn't want, like, you know, he doesn't want things. He just wants to be like, have moments.
Mm. I like that. I mean, my lady's like that. I've grown to like a specific, this is what I want for Christmas recipient. Before that, I used to like to surprise. I would like to, you know, okay, I think I know what type of person you are. Because I think I really do pride myself on being a good gift giver. And I live for that. Okay, you killed it.
Yeah.
Woo, look at this. He killed it. You know, like, I like
he
that.
He thought about me.
Exactly. But, you know,
I don't like the pressure.
Yeah, hold on. This day in Kwanzaa is...
Ujamaa, I guess they pronounce it. Cooperative economics.
Ujamaa. This day in Kwanzaa by all white producer. Say it one more time, Chris.
Ujamaa?
Ujamaa. I think it is.
That sounds right.
Ujamaa. That is what it is.
E for effort.
Hey, listen. Happy Ujamaa. I know about two people in real life that like consistently celebrate Kwanzaa.
They're real.
Yeah. I know one. Yep. I know one homie, she's an archivist, so she's, I guess she's into, you know, studying things that you know, I would say dead, but wrapped up. Like,
you want to talk about it without making it sound silly.
No. I appreciate that. Yeah. I appreciate the commitment. And my brother, he texted me happy emoji. I thought he was going to text me every day through Kwanzaa to see how committed he is. But, you know, shout out to those people that do celebrate Kwanzaa. You know, you all appreciate it.
Yeah, the pressure of gift giving, man, it's hard, dude. Ooh. It's hard, man. That's why I'm a huge fan of cash and gift cards.
But the gift card, I'm not mad at a gift card, but the gift card is really sad, dog. Go shop, do your shit. I don't know you like that. Go figure it out.
See, but I'm not into that thing though, D.
Go to the store, figure it out. Here's $50.
Like, here's the thing. Here's my thing. And maybe I hope I don't sound bitter and cynical.
Go ahead.
I know me.
Yeah. But you act like nobody else know you.
Yeah, and like, it's not gonna crush our friendship. If you gave me some cash, do what you do. Thank you for the cash.
I've been telling my grandmother I want cash since I was at least 11.
Yeah.
And, but every so often people might want to show that they know who you are. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, close friends. I'm going to be honest with you. It was a gift card Christmas for a lot of people this year. You know what I'm saying? Because it was just last minute. Actually, was it a gift card? Chris, I ain't do too much gift cards. I try not to gift card it out because I feel like the people that I'm going to get gifts for, I know enough about them to get them something that they would appreciate, or at least I hope, you know. But
when did cash become classless?
I'm not going to turn down no cash. I like it.
The gift card now is the thing. American Express, mm-hmm. Visa, you know. And they judge you, but you know, you go, oh, he got the Amex gift card, you know.
Yeah.
Doesn't even matter.
Uh-huh. What's the denomination?
You know, what's the denomination?
$25 gift card.
The worst gift card you could give, not the worst, but I don't like gift cards that are store dependent.
Oh, okay.
Like so Macy's, GameStop. Don't do that. Let me go wherever I want to go.
Let me live my life.
Don't restrict me to Macy's. I don't want to go to Macy's.
Target?
What are you doing?
Fuck out of here. Hilarious.
Give me cash. Cash is king.
Yeah, cash is the best. Cash is better than everything.
Yeah.
Shit. I like a good crisp
I used to always
bill.
Hate it that my older brother would get more cash than me.
Because he was older?
Because he was older. He used to piss me. And he rubbed
How
in my
old
face.
How much older is he?
My brother is 5 years older. And what happened is, for example, we live in a building. My dad's a super.
Yeah.
And they would always give us gifts. Miss Norris, particularly. Miss Norris is a great woman. She gave my brother 20 and she gave me a 10.
Okay, wow. And my brother, 100%
Yeah,
more.
Man. My brother's like, I was like, you know.
Damn.
I said, why do you get more money? He's like, you know, because I'm older.
Yeah.
I said, you got a higher cost of living? What's going on?
We live in the same apartment.
What's going on here?
Oh,
I used to be so tight about that.
Hey, Miss Norris is trying to throw something at the ball.
That could have been it, too.
Maybe that was what it was.
Hey, sugar.
Hey, listen, that young man can't satisfy me like this young man.
Let me see that mistletoe.
Hilarious.
Yeah, but yeah, so, man. I think cash is the best.
Now, this is the thing about cash. If you're going to give cash, make sure the bill is crisp. go to the bank. At least if you're not gonna go out your way to go shopping, go to the bank and say, "Give me the Christmas."
Yeah, I know.
Whatever denomination.
No, it can't look like a quick ATM run.
Nah,
yeah.
It can't have no strip of glitter on the motherfucker.
A phone number.
Yeah, chill.
Call Keisha.
Exactly. That shit gotta look like it could paper cut you. Brand new. Woo!
Somebody drew a mustache on the president.
Shit looks great. Yeah, not no old faced fucking hundreds. Yeah. Something nice.
Cash is funny to me whenever I go to the grocery store and the cashier puts a little mark on it.
Uh-huh.
It's always this kind of thing where like, well, you don't trust me?
Yeah, or they just hold your shit up.
Yeah, into the light.
Okay. Here's that, man. Especially when it's for a low bill. When it's like a 10. You going to do that for me on a 10? What the fuck is going on out here?
I'll pull out the real money. But Christmas is good though? What'd you do?
Christmas was cool, man. Christmas was a good time. What'd I do? Same shit, you know, did the family thing, you know, did a little tour, hit my ladies' peoples and then my peoples, you know what I'm saying? So we did a double header. It was cool. We cracked the, you know.
How's traffic out there?
Traffic wasn't too bad, actually. Traffic wasn't too bad. It was good times. We kicked it, you know, broke down some gifts, had good laughs.
Did you guys wait till midnight or you did it?
Nah. We did it the day of Christmas, like, you know, because we ain't kids. You know what I'm saying?
Bro, we're adults here.
We're adults now. Like, if I was a kid, that was the thing when I was a kid. Like, I could get to open one gift on Christmas Eve. Could pick just one gift. So I always try to get the biggest fucking gift. That should turn out to be like a sweater.
A pillow.
Some bullshit, yeah. But you get that one gift, and then the next day you could just tear shit open.
Isn't a sweater the worst gift you could get, dude, as a kid?
Oh, man, a sweater, it depends. I remember one of my aunts. She used to get my brother like the fly shit, kind of similar to you because he was a little older. Yeah. She'd get him some fly shit. And then I remember one year, it was like when the fucking Addams Family movie came out. She got me a It t-shirt. Whack ass t-shirt. Even then, I was like, this whack ass t-shirt, get the fuck out of here. You don't want to be ungrateful, but... That shit was like, that was a mark. That was a moment.
That's horrible.
To this day, I don't fuck with her like that.
Yeah, t-shirt. Unless it's a customized t-shirt, I don't think a t-shirt is never a good gift.
Not in a motherfucking winter months.
Nah, it's not.
One t-shirt?
Yeah, it's not a good gift.
Come on. Anyway, so yeah, we just did that. We kicked it, had some, you know, drank a little bit, talked a little bit of shit. Went out to my people's crib. Watched a good church movie.
Which one did you guys watch?
Oh, man, it's a church movie.
Were you in charge again to pick the movie?
No, this time they went hard, too. They went hard because one of the DVDs wasn't working, so they went out and got another DVD player just because they wanted to watch this movie. It's called War Room. It's a church movie. Don't go look it up because Rotten Tomatoes will give that shit a good 35%. War Room. And
who's the lead?
I don't know none of these characters, none of these people.
Who found the film?
My sister. My sister found the film, a strong church movie. And I'll tell you one thing about church movies. They are not subtle. They are heavy-handed with the metaphor, boy. There's no metaphor. Everything is, this is what it is. You know, it was a good movie.
I'm sorry, I didn't want to cut you off. I'm noticing that the sub-headliner is... prayer is a powerful weapon.
Absolutely. Oh my God. There you go. There you go. So that's the subtitle.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? So it's all about prayer.
Sounds action packed.
The war room was basically like a prayer room, and where she became a prayer warrior. It was interesting. It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. Like the sentiment behind it, that's how I know I'm getting older. Because now I can sit through a full church movie and take it for what it is and still find the big idea into it. So the thing was,
question: Did it end in a big set piece at the church where someone was like asking for forgiveness?
No, okay. No. It ended just with some triumph at like a double Dutch competition or something. I don't want to spoil it. Everybody wants to run out. You know what I mean? Go see the war room. You know, I'm not about them spoilers. And well, basically, it was a couple having problems and. One of the things was, rather than pray about the relationship, pray for your partner. You know what I'm saying? And then they had, like, this lady had, like, a dedicated prayer room where she would go and she would do her prayers and hang the prayers up on the bed.
A lot of pillows?
No pillows. I don't think it was no pillows. At first, it was a pillow. The girl was trying to do everything but get on her knees. Pause. She was trying to do everything but get on her knees, but ultimately she had to get on her knees because she had to pray. And, and then shit started resonating. I don't even know if I should call it shit, but prayers started to manifest. It was decent. It was a good, what made it good was my grandmother enjoyed it. And that's really what it's all about. If your grandmother ain't uncomfortable by the movie, you know.
Then it's a good movie.
It's a successful Christmas celebration. And that's how really
the,
what it was.
How was the deacon in the film? Was it a good deacon?
There was no deacon. There was no real church.
Oh.
There was no real church. It was about this lady. I forget her name. Miss Clara, I think. She was the lady who, basically, it was a, if we're going to get into it, it was a family. It was a husband, a wife, and a daughter. And the husband, just from the door, was just upset about all types of shit. Like, they didn't even really ever say what he was upset about. But he was,
it's a war room.
Yeah, he would be spazzing on everybody, the family, and all of that. And
this is what happens when you don't pray.
Yeah. But the woman's, her feet was stinking, which was a subplot that didn't really get
resolved.
That was a subplot. I was like, okay, this got to be something here has to get resolved here with the stinky feet because you brought it up a few times. I'm like, is this the spirit?
That was the beast storyline. Yeah,
I guess so. So anyway, the lady, she's a realtor. And the wife, she's a realtor, so she goes to try to sell this one home. And Miss Clara is the owner of the home, real beautiful home and all of that. And Miss Clara, she comes to speak to Miss Clara. Miss Clara says, when the last time you been to church? You know, this is a good meeting about selling a home.
What makes me laugh wants
to
know, is,
well, when's the last time you've been to church?
I've seen that in a few films where they allude to your attendance rate, and it's always weird at the timing of it.
Yeah.
There's always a quick beat of silence, a little pregnant pause, hand on the shoulder.
Uh-huh.
When was the last time you visited the Lord?
Uh-huh.
You know, that kind of thing.
Because we could tell you ain't been in a while. I could tell by how your posture, how your spirit is sitting. So she hitting her with all of these. They pretty nosy ass questions if you ask me. So I'm heckling the movie. I'm like, she's pretty nosy. My grandmother's like, well, maybe she's a wise woman. I'm
hilarious.
Like, all right, well, let me fall back.
You gotta fall back.
Let me fall back in the name of the Lord. And long story short, she gets this woman, you know, she delves deep enough into this woman's struggle and the story to find out, hey, this is what you should be doing. And she kind of coaches her as a prayer coach to turn her into a prayer warrior. And the prayer...
Oh, she goes into training.
Basically, and all of that leads to, you know, the end. I don't want to mess it all the way up. But
favorite church movie?
Oh, wow. I don't have...
Mine's would have to be... I forget the name of it, but the Denzel one? Denzel and Whitney?
The Best Man? No, Denzel, that's not The Best Man. That's The Preacher's Wife.
I thought that was a good one.
Why? Just because Denzel and Whitney was in it?
Well,
how many church movies have you seen?
I've seen a few. The one with Nas and Jennifer Hudson.
Oh, right. I ain't seen that shit.
Black Nativity, I think it was.
Black Nativity. You out here?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. Right. You got some experience with the church movies. That man dated a black woman. Come here and watch this Black Nativity.
I've seen a few. I've seen quite a few.
Yeah, man.
But I thought the Denzel is just an amazing. By the way, I think today's Denzel's birthday. Is it today?
All right. Well, happy birthday to Denzel.
Check real quick. I think today's his birthday. Who's my favorite actor of all time?
Is he?
Oh, Denzel, absolutely. Yeah, he's my favorite. He's my number one. That's my day one.
Shout out to Denzel Washington, is the greatest actor of all time podcast. So.
Yesterday, turned 61 years old.
Yesterday. 61, yeah.
He don't look a deal for 40.
All right. He look young for 60.
Yeah, well, one. I think what messed him up was that meme.
Yeah. I mean, Denzel's still cool as hell. You seen a little clip of him with Drake and Tyrese? He was drunk at the.
Was he drunk?
He looked like a little drunk, like a drunk uncle. He was like, yeah, you know, I'm out here with Drake and T. And, you know, shit, I ain't know how to work the camera, but, you know, we out here. I'm like, all right, Denzel.
Staying relevant.
Take it easy.
Favorite church movie, you know what it is?
Oh, man, I don't have that many church movies. I'm going to say favorite church movie. That's a good one. The God, no, not the gospel. The preacher's one. That's a good question. Y'all let us know.
Yeah, let us know what your favorite church movie is.
I might go with The Preacher's Wife just because I can't. Oh, I'm going to go with War Room.
Really?
Because that's the most recent.
Oh, okay.
That's the most recent. But I got to think about my church movie categories.
Right. Would you consider Red Hook Summer a church movie?
Oh, no. No. But. Okay. It's got a church element.
A church element, yeah.
I mean, yeah.
But it's not as uplifting as other.
No, it's definitely not that. Yeah.
It's not your typical.
Yeah. It ain't your typical. There's got to be some other. I feel like there's a church comedy that I'm missing that I've seen where it was like.
Oh. I think Cedric may have been the.
I feel like Cedric got that pastor look about.
Yeah.
I feel like seeing something with him. I think there was a movie with Whoopi Goldberg, not the nun movie, but not Sister Act or anything like that. But I think she was in a church.
Sister Act is a church movie, right?
I guess it's a church. Yeah. That's more of a Catholic school movie.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I will say this though. I think one of the best deacons or pastors. Comedic was Richard Pryor, dude. You ever see Which Way's Up?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, he tore that up, man.
We gotta shout out Amen. You never watched Amen?
Nah.
Oh, damn, really?
Let me see. What's Amen?
Amen was a sitcom. Clifton Davis played the preacher. Sherman Hemsley played the deacon. Yeah, and they had came out like in the 90s. Shine on me, don't have no. Shine on me,
but that's your man, though.
I fuck with Sherman.
Yeah, that's like, isn't that your guy?
It's one of my guys. I fuck with George Jefferson. Yeah, I fuck with George Jefferson. I like Charlie.
Nah, explain
Henry.
That because I feel like you got a whole like paradigm on George Jefferson.
Why I just so- like George Jefferson didn't take no shorts. He was a militant dude. He was his own. He was self-made. Made his own money. He didn't really cow to the white man. You know what I'm saying? He was just a free black man. He was just getting money. He would call. He would check anybody. You know? He wasn't about that bullshit. I dug it. I thought he was aspirational. He was getting money. He was a businessman. I dug it. I thought he was funny. I like George Jefferson.
Yeah, because every time he comes up, you're like, that's my man.
I fuck with George Jefferson. That was real shit. We moved on up. Because that was in the good times era. You know, if you're in the projects and you're looking at another motherfucker, the project, that ain't uplifting. That's just parallel struggle.
You know what I saw recently? Oh, speaking of old school sitcoms, was 227.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, shout out to Jack A. Harry.
Jack Hay.
Yes, sir.
Jack Hay.
Yeah.
It was a good little sitcom. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Some good sitcoms
out
there.
It was all right. It was cool. Yeah. Jack Hay. Shout out
Jack
to
Hay.
Sandra. Oh, man. How was, what else is going on with you, man?
Man, I saw Star Wars last night.
Yeah.
No spoilers.
Come here with them spoilers because I've yet to see it. I'm trying to see it soon. I was supposed to see it yesterday, but tell me.
Did you grow up on Star Wars? Did you watch?
Like, I think we talked about this before. No, maybe somebody asked me this recently. I'm familiar with Star Wars, but I'm not into the Star Wars shit like everybody else is. I couldn't tell you. I know I seen the primary three, you know, Jedi, Empire, Star Wars. But if you put on a scene from any of them, I couldn't tell you which movie it was.
Which
I went, nah. I had some of the toys growing up. I mean, I know who R2-D2 is and Chewbacca. I know the players or whatever, but I'm not like, I was never really all the way that invested in the story. When it came back in the 90s with the Jar Jar and Banks and all of that shit, I don't even think I went to go see that. Phantom Menace and all that. That did nothing for me. Didn't do too much for me. I saw it then as I see it now as a good nostalgia hustle. You know what I'm saying? Let's spend this nostalgia to some more money. This shit meant a lot to you motherfuckers 30 some odd years ago. Let's make it more. You know what I mean? It is what it is. I heard the movie is beautiful.
It's great. It was fun. It was fun, man.
So I gotta check it out.
Let's talk about it like in another week or so. Give it some time.
All right, give it some time.
But it was fun. I enjoyed it. I saw it on IMAX 3D. Good time, man.
I heard it's real 3D too. It's worth going to see it 3D.
It was dope.
It's not like a bullshit
movie.
It was fun. Trying to get that couple 3D dollars. If y'all like Star Wars or what you didn't like or what you did like, hit us up in the comments. Hit us up on the Facebook page, matter of fact.
And then Star Wars is big in the hood, dude.
Yeah.
Big in the hood.
Yeah. I mean, I think science fiction's always been big in the hood. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's just... getting the ass up out of getting out of the hood into another galaxy.
Yeah.
Going to a galaxy far, far away. That was the shit.
I don't know why he's coming up to me again, but I think it was Richard Pryor had another joke. He was talking about Mad Max or something like that.
Uh-huh.
One of his jokes, and he was like,
Richard Pryor? So about Mad Max?
What movie was he talking about? Some movie about the future.
Okay.
He did some joke about the future, and Richard Pryor was like, you know, the movie was a hit, and then he's like, yeah, but ain't no black people in this future. What kind of movie?
Oh, yeah. Shit seemed bleak for the brothers.
Yeah.
Man.
But Star Wars was a hit in the hood, dude.
Yeah, it was. I guess so.
I used to watch that on loop with my cousin. But yeah, so I saw that. What else did I do? Did that, hung out with Pops. And then New Year's Eve coming up.
You doing anything?
I'm working, man. I'm working that night.
Uh-oh.
I got three shows that night.
Well,
so I'm working that night.
You out there making them laugh.
I get a little nervous performing on New Year's, though, D.
Wow. Performing on New Year's?
Yeah, because I don't know what the expectations are from the audience.
It's the same expectations as always.
I know, but I just don't... I just always get leery when... You know, I mean, I don't say this to the audience, but, you know, because they're there for New Year's Eve, you know, and I'm just like, I have these prepared jokes.
Tell them jokes.
So.
Shit, they chose to be there with you. You didn't handpick this audience. Motherfucker, y'all rolled the dice.
Yeah.
New Year's Eve plans are more often than not prone to disappoint.
Right.
If you one of these people that fucking put so much on New Year's Eve. I call New Year's Eve amateur night. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of people that don't go out at all. And they're like, I want to go out tonight. I want it to be. It's going to be epic. It's going to be a big thing. So there's all of this expectation.
That's what I'm saying.
On just a fucking overpriced night on the town. Just enjoy yourself, man. Stop trying to make it more than what it is. Just because you ain't do shit the whole year. And you trying to come in with a big bang.
Yeah, just put everything in one night.
Put that on us.
So that's why New Year's Eve show is always weird to me. Because I'm like, what is the expectation of what what do you think is going to be funny tonight?
Do you find yourself, New Year's time, you find yourself looking at life like, damn, you know what? I think I could have done better, you know, taking your shit into account.
Great question. What I've been doing lately is, D, I've been trying to find things to feel grateful about as opposed to what didn't work. So I look at the calendar and I go, this is what worked this year. Mm-hmm. And this is where I made progress. Because mm-hmm. otherwise it gets depressing.
Yeah.
You know, so like, you don't want that kind of energy going into the new year.
Looking at a calendar of failure. Yeah,
you don't want Fuck! That at all. Yeah, so I've been doing this. What worked this year and how can I continue to do that and do better?
Mm. I hear that. Yeah, I kind of do the same thing. Just like figure it out. Put some goals together at the top of the year and then I try to see which goals I hit. And if I find the goals that I didn't hit, they just become the new, they rollover goals. They become goals for 2016. You know, it is what it is.
Do you have, like, do you actually specify your goals at the beginning of the year? You're writing them down.
I try to. I mean, you know, the big shits, the big goals or whatever, but not just anything. You know, I try to have somewhat of an idea, but then I don't limit it to just that. But, you know, you try to put together.
And what's your success rate been? You've been hitting?
It's been good. Because I'm wanting to go look at the goals during the year. Like, I don't just write them down and forget about it. Like, I'll check in and be like, all right, fucking up. You could do that. You know what I mean? Or, you know. And it's always cool to come back and be like, oh, I did that. And then you're like, oh, I didn't do that. All right, we got to get that done. You know.
I'm trying to figure out what's the most embarrassing thing that happened to me in 2015?
I remember for years, my goal was to get on stage and do stand-up. For years, from like...
You just had it on deck.
Had that shit on deck from like when I was in college. I was like, that was one of those goals that would roll over. Get on stage, do stand-up. It took me years to get the fucking nerve up. So I was happy to scratch that bitch off.
And that's a big one.
Yeah, that was a big one. It's, what's today, 29th? 29th? Yesterday made 10 years of me doing stand-up.
You serious?
Yeah, December 28th, 2005.
Oh, congratulations, man.
Yeah, thank you. That's when I started. Anyway, so that's in the world. You know what I mean?
10 years, wow, dude.
Yeah.
What made you jump 10 years ago to do it?
I just got tired of fucking bullshitting. I got tired of bullshit. I was orbiting it. Like I was still working, doing sales, so I would go out to LA like 10 times a year. When I would go there, I would always go like to the Laugh Factory, the Chocolate Sundays, or you know, whatever. I try to go catch a comedy show and I would just watch that shit. And I just love the electricity of the comedy. Like I was funny, you know, just amongst my friends and shit. And it was just like, nah, B, I want this. I want to put the funny to the test for a while because that's how I looked at it. It was like, you know, to take it to go professional, you got to put your funny to the test. You know what I'm saying? And damn, dude, if I ain't as funny as I think I am, I got to figure out a whole nother identity for myself. So one day, it just. December 28th.
I remember when I first started out too, man, like the feeling of going into a comedy club.
Yeah.
There's something magical about it, dude.
Yeah.
When you go into a good comedy show, like when you just going in as an audience member, just straight up.
Yeah.
And you don't know who's coming out and the people that come out, the good lineup and just funny.
Uh-huh.
There's something magical about that environment, man.
It's great. It's almost like you can't even get back to that.
You can't.
To watching the comedy shows
man.
As a regular person, like... I always remember being online for a comedy show. Felt like everybody thought they were funny online for the comedy show. Everybody got trying their little jokes out and shit, trying to make their date laugh or whatever. And then they would go up in there and then see the real deal. I remember going to the Laugh Factory in L.A. and Cat Williams closed the show. And this is right before Cat blew up before the special. But he was the shit.
Did you know who was it when he came out?
Nah. Mm-mm. He was known from like Next Friday or Friday After Next, shit like that. But he wasn't known really. This was before his first comedy special, but he was on fire in
LA. He killed that night?
Oh, he destroyed. He destroyed. It's just imagine seeing Eddie and Cat Williams' first hour on stage for like 20 minutes with no context. You ain't expect none of this shit. He just fucking destroyed that shit.
Was Chris Spencer hosting?
maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't remember all that. I just remember Cat Williams closed that bitch down. And this was all that shit was new to me. Because, like, his persona was still very big. For just imagine, Cat was on some pimp shit.
Yeah,
I think he might have had women bring him out. This was a regular showcase night. Like, on a, you know what I mean? Like, a Sunday night. Everybody else coming to just to the stage, regular to the DJ. This motherfucker, it was a spectacle. He came out, some women and shit, and, you know, he was pimp. Hey, what's up, pimping? And pimping says pimping. And, like, niggas knew it.
The show was sold out. Show was packed.
It was on fire. That shit used to be on. What? That Monday nights at fucking the Improv, D-Ray shit used to be on fire, man. It was just like, ah, it was an ill time, especially out there. But and then here, I remember just, you know, ducking into certain shows. I remember seeing Tracy Morgan. I guess he was like just working out some shit at the Boston. It was like four motherfuckers in the audience. It's Tracy Morgan on stage. This is pre 30 Rock, but it was still, you knew, if you knew Hustle Man and all of that, like, oh shit, that's Hustle Man. And he was just doing a fucking spot for like just a few people. And it was funny as shit.
Rocked it.
He was killing, but he was Tracy Morgan doing his like his raw, sometimes uncomfortable shit where the crowd could, even four motherfuckers be like, but then it still make you laugh like a motherfucker. It was crazy, man. It was calling me. You know what I mean? It was calling me.
I remember being at, this is an old spot, it's called Gen Z's.
Oh, Gen Z's Lounge.
It was right by your old spot.
It was right on 145th at St. Nick.
And I got into some beef, you know, with my I had some argument with my dad that night, uh-huh. And I ended up leaving the house, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And I was walking by Gen Z's, and I needed a laugh, yeah. You know?
This is prior to comedy.
Prior to comedy.
Okay.
This is me just walking around. And I was entertaining the thought of doing comedy, though.
Yeah. How you wind up there, though?
So because I had it, because I got into a fight with my dad,
yeah.
I stayed with my homie who lived on 147th.
Okay.
And we took the train, and I had to walk to his crib.
Right.
So he scooped me up. He came to the train, and then we walked down. I was walking down. We see the comedy night.
Yeah.
And he could tell that I needed a laugh. And I go in there, and it was a hood spot.
Yeah,
you
know Norm Ill was the host.
Yeah, Norm Ill was the host. I think rest in peace, by the way. I think
he died. Yeah,
Norm passed away. And little hood spot, so. Audience is scattered,
uh-huh.
Meaning that there's like three people at the bar,
yeah,
four people in the showroom,
yeah,
a couple heads in the back. Real
showroom, it was a bar,
yeah, it was
really?
A bar,
yeah.
And people in the back, non-committal, they want to be in the show, but they don't want to be in the show,
yeah.
And I was the non-committal. It was like, I don't want to be in the show, yeah. So I'm gonna hang back. First dude goes up, and he took a slow one.
Uh-huh.
It was a rough room.
Yeah, oh, it was terrible.
I'm in the back with my friend, and this dude is doing some jokes about, like, you know, when you go to the barbecue,
uh-huh.
And they wasn't feeling him that night. Uh-huh. And then the next comic up was Rashid Thurman.
Wow.
Rest in peace as well.
Damn.
And he came up there, dog, and destroyed.
Yeah.
And there's something magical about just being an audience member, like, yeah. Just not being a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
I was receptive.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't judgmental about the jokes.
You wasn't trying to break it apart.
I wasn't trying to break it apart. And the room just changed, man.
Yeah.
You know, Rashid, if you get a chance, he's on YouTube, Rashid Thurman.
He's a beast.
And he came in there, just took his time, wasn't rushing nothing. And I walked out of there going, damn, dude, I gotta fuck. This is awesome.
Yeah. I remember going to Gen Z's one time, and I seen Omar Thompson.
Yeah.
For the first time. Omar's young. Like, he's our age, so like he was a young motherfucker. And like he was, I think he might have still been like a new jack. And he kinda rocked in
right.
there. And it was like, ooh, the love. You know the love.
The love
you,
of the, yeah.
Yeah, it was just, but it was that same night I might have seen two or three people go down in flames.
They go down in their dog.
And it was one of them things where you gotta be for real. You know what I mean? It was just too close to home, too, for me to do that. I don't think I'd have felt right taking an L and just walking home to my house.
The proximity.
Yeah, that shit, that was there. Somebody would have had to check up on me. But it was a cool little spot.
It's a cool little spot, yeah. Man. It's a Dunkin' Donuts now.
Yeah, ain't that a bitch? Shout out to Gen Z's, though. Shout out to comedy. Shout out to the people that fuck with comedy.
Speaking of laughs, though, dude, you sent me a couple things in an email, dude. The Stevie Wonder...
Oh, man.
I don't know if you've seen this joint. I was laughing my head off over this.
Yeah, man. Stevie Wonder hitting the dab.
What does that mean, the dab?
That's a dance move, but... I mean, my thing is... When did Stevie turn into a puppet for the people that could see?
It sounds to me like you have a lot of respect for Stevie. Like
I got a lot of respect.
You don't like Stevie getting played.
But this is the thing, like Stevie. I mean, I would imagine Stevie's in on the joke. I would be surprised, but when I see shit like Stevie Wonder dabbing, I think at the end of it all, Stevie gonna be like, "Y'all motherfuckers thought I was really blind, man. I wasn't, but I was just fucking with all of y'all, man. I could see." But Stevie Wonder dabbing. First of all, that means dabbing is really, really, really hit the shark.
Even yeah, because blind people
doing dance.
And like, how was his dab? Was his dab?
It was decent for a blind man. I mean, he's got his own category to compete in. Till there's another blind person doing the dab that's a little iller. But you know, it's just who's that for? Is it what's cool about it? Is it cool because of Stevie Wonder, or is it cool because he's blind
and he's dancing the dance?
Yeah, because if Patti LaBelle hit the dab, maybe people would probably be maybe just as excited about it. If Prince hit the dab, but Stevie hitting the dab just feels. See, the thing about when you're doing shit that's outside your comfort zone is when you're sighted, you can see the motherfuckers. You can look at people's eyes and see how the laughter really, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but like you can see them even pointing and laughing. Yeah. We're not laughing with you laughing at. When you can't see none of that, but I guess when you can't see none of that, you can hear it. And you can tell a wicked laugh from a regular whimsical laugh. I just didn't like it. That's it. I just said, I don't know, man. Stevie hitting the dab. I ain't need to see that shit. I didn't need to see Mike Tyson on that fucking hoverboard either.
Hilarious.
Come on, Mike.
So now, Mike was on a hoverboard, y'all.
Iron Mike Tyson, heavyweight champion, past heavyweight, undisputed heavyweight champion.
And Iron he's on Mike. A hoverboard, and he took a spill, boy.
Woo!
And you know it was a knockout.
Yeah, it was a bad one. It was a bad one. And then they cut the footage. There's some footage where they cut it to where he has a post fight interview from back in the days. He's like, I think I messed up my vertebrae on that one. I think I hurt my back. I think I broke my back. My vertebrae. And the guy is like, are you sure? What part of you? He said, it's spinal. Oh, man, that shit is
they
fucking.
They ain't got no respect, man. These memes out here, they got no respect.
The memes is, listen, man. That meme slander is never gonna stop. That shit is relentless.
Here's my thing, though, dog. I have no interest in a hoverboard.
I don't either. I don't fuck with him.
I have no interest in that.
I don't like him. I hate on the future. I don't like him. One, because I'm not good at him. You know what I mean? I'm a little. I haven't been able to fully relax. You got to relax.
Yeah, that's relaxing.
You got to let it go and let them take you. I'm good on that. So when I do see people out there, the thing is, it's too much. It's still you on a fucking vehicle. I understand that you on a little board, but I don't like when people zipping at me high speed at a fucking hoverboard because then. Like, the closer you get, the more nervous I get, and I don't want to have to kick you off your hoverboard. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm not going to have you knock me down in a hoverboard. You got to fall off this board. It's got to go that way.
And, the streets in my neighborhood ain't the best.
Nah. But motherfuckers, they done incorporated everything. They strippers is using hoverboards.
You serious?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, come on. You know, the strip club, they going to add whatever's hot in the hood.
In heels?
Yeah. They travel the floor in hoverboards. Some strippers strip on the hoverboard. Then I seen a video of Preachers. Preacher had the hoverboard in church. Yeah, you know, man. Listen,
what kind of like in a
real like it looked like a Baptist church. It was on the hoverboard.
Oh my God!
Listen, man. When it get hot, it get hot.
I wonder, did his robe cover the wheel so it looked like he was floating?
No. He let you know. He didn't.
He wanted to let you know he had hoverboard.
Yeah, he wasn't playing it. Like, look what the Lord made me do. Yeah, nah.
I'm not doing no hoverboard, man. Not anytime soon.
I can't fuck with it.
And you know, they've been exploding now.
Yeah, I see that shit. But they've been exploding when they parked. They're not even on top of it. That shit could just catch fire while you sleep. I don't know. I just don't fuck with the hoverboard. I'm just not into it. It's,
Man, I'm not. Listen, man, I don't even ride bikes anymore.
Yeah. Because the thing is, it's also a commitment, too. Like, you can't just be holding the hoverboard. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta hover. You gotta hover everywhere you go now. I'm not into the hovering.
Tell you how risk averse I am. I as a kid growing up, I would never even get on the pegs of a bicycle.
Oh, man.
Or ride the handlebars. My brother would say, hey, come ride these handlebars. Nope.
Yeah.
Nah. No, sir.
Nah. Yeah, I would ride the pegs. I'd ride the pegs.
I was never a peg guy. Never played football. I'm so risk averse. I did do judo, but anything contact related, I'm not that into it, man.
See, I wasn't fucking with none of the like martial arts because I didn't like other people's feet. I told you that a long time. I was other people's feet averse. If we could do martial arts in some socks, then maybe, but I can't have a sweaty foot touch my body. That's not mine. Nah, that's a fucking problem.
You know what's going on, LOD?
What's going on, man?
I can't watch martial arts films anymore, man. If it ain't Bruce Lee, I can't watch it no more. Because, like, it just after watching UFC and MMA, these movies look fake.
Yeah?
Like, ain't nobody going to fight for 20 minutes hand chopping.
Just hand chopping?
Yeah, like, you know. The last good decent martial arts film I saw was Ip Man. And that was good because
is it Ip Man or IP Man?
It's Ip Man. He's such a jackass. You're joking around, right?
I thought it was IP Man.
IP Man.
I thought it was IP. I thought it had some shit to do with the internet. The fucking IP Man. This nigga was protecting his IP address.
I just picture you watching it. I think we got the wrong movie.
Fucking IP Man. Ip Man. What's Ip?
Ip Man. The story is that he was Bruce Lee's teacher.
Oh, shit.
Back in China. And
how many niggas in China be running that line? You know I used to teach Bruce Lee. You know, I taught that nigga the foot sweep. That was my shit, fam. Nobody was saying that before me. I put Bruce on.
That's the storyline. And that was the last.
Oh, so it's like a documentary?
It's a film. It's a film. It's based on a real dude. His name was Ip Man. And he was a Wing Chun master. Wing Chun, as you know, is an efficient way of hand combat.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm into it. It's a good movie. But most martial, like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, all that stuff, I can't watch that, dude. I don't have the patience for it.
You fuck with Jackie Chan?
Yeah. The reason I like Jackie.
Because he does all this old stuff?
That, but he's also, he tries to make them funny. Like, his thing is like tongue in cheek. He's like, listen, man, we know these fights ain't real. I'm going to slide up under these tables. I'm gonna do some slapstick comedy as these fights are going on.
Mm-hmm.
So I always liked Jackie. Jackie was like, yeah, we're going to have some fun while we're doing this. Like,
so he was more tongue in cheek.
He's very tongue in cheek. He knew, like.
You don't think Jackie could do kind of, he's nice.
Yeah, Jackie's nice.
You think Jackie could compete with Bruce? They said Jackie could have beat Bruce, right? Nobody want to hear that because Bruce is dead. And you didn't respect the legends and all that. But
Bruce. You know, there's a clip somewhere of Jackie talking about how good Bruce was.
Yeah, like, well, you're supposed to respect
Bruce
was a beast. That.
Like you said, Bruce. He said Bruce. Actually, Bruce. Jackie was the stuntman in The Chinese Connection.
Okay.
And Bruce hit him in the movie. Yeah. Like, part of the scene, and Jackie was saying like, I've never been hit like that in my life.
Of course, because you ain't expect that shit to happen.
He said, I've been hit a lot, but not like that. He's like, this dude hit me with some fire.
He was like, nigga, I see you trying to take my job. Hit him with that fall back. We ain't hiring. Wait till I'm dead. He hit that motherfucker so hard. That dude was like, I can't wait till
he died.
That's
hilarious. And Jackie made it a big deal to talk about that. Like, you know, I do my own stunts, right? Like,
he had to talk about that.
I broke some bones. You
vicious
know.
Shit. Oh, man. Brandon Lee, where's he rank? No love?
No, he gets a lot of love. Unfortunately, he passed away early. I'm trying to think of the black martial artist. You had the Jim Kelly, who was great. Jim Kelly. Jim Kelly was dope. Michael Jai White. He's the new Jim Kelly.
Yeah, but he don't get enough work though. Like not.
And some of the movies they be giving him be just ridiculous.
He was cool in Black Dynamite though. That was excellent. That was a good look for him.
That was excellent. But he did Blood and Bone.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's something bad about a B martial arts movie, dude. The script reads wrong.
Oh, it's terrible. It's like they're almost awful. On par with porno.
They're awful, man.
That shit is like
a B
right
martial
there.
Arts film, dude, is awful.
Yeah, no, that shit is real bad.
You remember Billy Blanks?
But he wasn't a martial artist.
Yeah, man.
I thought he was just a workout dude.
So disrespectful. So disrespectful.
Billy Blanks was a workout? I mean, he was a champion.
He was a champion.
I didn't know that.
That's so disrespectful.
I thought he was the workout champion. I thought he was into the workout. I thought he started a workout.
So disrespectful, man.
I'm sorry, Billy. I ain't know that.
That's so disrespectful. Like he's renowned in the karate world.
Really?
Like, yeah, he was a beast. He was a champion.
Billy Blanks. All right.
You thought he was just a dude with
a leotard? He did no movies.
Yeah, he did a bunch of movies.
Billy Blanks got
Billy
Blanks movies out?
Several B martial arts movies, dude.
Are they good or are they terrible?
They're awful.
Really?
They're awful.
Well, that's probably why he had to get a workout
Do yourself a favor, dude.
This nigga got. I didn't know that. Chris, did you know Billy Blanks was like real deal?
No, I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah. Go to IMDb. It's deep. Hmm. Go to Chris. Go to Billy Blanks IMDb profile right now.
Shout out to all of the little like the ancillary martial art cats never got no love. What's up with my man? He used to get Bolo. Used to get a little bit
Bolo
of love.
Bolo was bigger the scene. Yeah, Bolo was bigger the scene.
Bolo got a little bit of love.
You call him ancillary? What'd you call him?
Ancillary. The guys that were just off to the side. You know that you ain't. Because if it wasn't Bruce, it was tough.
Yeah.
Brute. Jackie Chan got in. It was another cat.
Jet Li came later.
Jet Li had a nice little run, but he didn't have enough personality. No. What fucked it up was Jet Li maybe was the guy they said could have beat Bruce. Because the thing about Bruce was a beast.
Right.
But Bruce was like, he was all dramatic. You know what I mean? He might give you a tiny bit of humor, tiny bit. Jackie was nice technically, but then he gave you a lot of slapstick.
A lot of slapstick, yeah.
So then with Jet Li came with no real personality.
No personality. I don't think I've seen that dude smile.
It was hard for him to break through. You gotta give us a little bit more. Bruce gave us wild intensity. We don't need all that. And Jackie made us smile. What you got, Jet? What's going on, Jet Li? I know you're nice, and that is fascinating and all
and
that.
And Bruce was just ripped. Like, he set the tone.
Yeah, Bruce had he was ripped. I had the skinny cut up, like Tommy Davidson.
Yeah, that's how you had Tommy
Davidson. He and the Tommy Davidson torso.
So everybody after like that was like, that's why I always felt bad for Steven Seagal, because it was like, you know, he didn't have the Bruce. Like, Bruce would take that shirt off, have the blood scratches on his chest, yeah. You know. Like, Bruce just brought so much intensity to the screen.
Well, Bruce was also informed how you would fight in the street. Like, I remember that now. Like, when you was fighting, you slap boxing or something crazy, or get into a real fight, and you started bleeding, you'd be like, oh, let me turn into a real fucking thing. Now, yeah.
Did Bruce start that where they would lick their own blood? Remember that?
It probably. Was probably that him? Did. He probably might have started that.
Explain to me why, like, as an adult now, I'm thinking to myself, like,
it just looked gangster.
I would never lick my own blood.
I still lick my own blood.
Really?
Yeah,
why would you do it? Because
why not? It's
because
my blood.
When I saw the film, it was like Bruce did it to make sure it was blood. He's like,
I can't believe this is me.
Is this me? It just probably, yeah. Let me take a lick.
This is prior to the AIDS era, too. So Bruce might not have been as voluntary to lick blood.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I mean?
And then, like, you know the taste of your own blood? Like, yeah, that's me.
that's O positive right there. It's about to be an ass whipping. Nah, I think he just had to taste it to really fathom that somebody made him bleed. That's what the thing. Bruce would go into second gear on that ass whipping. Like, if he could, because Bruce would beat a lot of motherfuckers down on a casual level.
Right.
Bring a whole mother. But one dude would make him bleed, and he'd be like,
oh.
And take it to the next level. It's like when Popeye ate his spinach. Bruce started bleeding. It was a whole new. He about to bust your ass.
Bruce licking his own blood is the equivalent to me at James Brown when James Brown would do the ha.
Exactly.
Because I'm sure the director was like, he was going through his writers. Did you write that?
No.
Okay, just keep rolling.
He felt that shit. Yeah, Bruce was a bad motherfucker. Shout out to Bruce Lee, man. Plenty of motherfuckers thought they could fight after that shit. Thought they knew a little bit of kung fu. Bruce Lee was. Is he still the hottest Asian in the hood?
Oh, you are such a hot mess.
I wish we gotta have one of my Asian peoples come through.
It's a good question. I mean, listen, without sounding like, I guess, exotifying Asians, but to be, in terms of our background,
yeah,
I would say Bruce is still.
Is he like
the hottest,
Asian in the hood?
This conversation is so messed up.
Yes, I'm just saying, I would like to ask an Asian person who's the hottest black person that made it into, you know what I mean?
I would say
household.
If I had to guess,
Jordan,
Michael Jackson,
yeah, okay.
Michael Jackson, Jordan would be a close second.
Yeah.
Who else is that? Who else is the hot? You know. Black people in the Asian community, definitely hip hop artists. Wu-Tang, no,
maybe.
But I
let's not go.
Yeah,
we're assuming too much.
Yeah, I know. This is getting bad.
I would say
Bruce is definitely the.
Yeah, I can't see nobody that took his shine.
You know, I'm trying to go over my Rolodex.
Yeah, you got any submissions, Chris?
I mean, I was gonna say like Shaq Fu. You know?
Nah, you man. Been,
yeah,
MC,
nah, yeah, nah.
It's derailed. It's taking a turn for the worse.
We knew this was coming.
Yeah,
I think Bruce is up there, dude.
Yeah, Bruce is out there. I was going to ask you something else, too, about some shit like that. I forget.
Yeah, it's not good. I'm talking about like all the the big ethnic actors that I grew up with. Bruce was the Asian. Any Indian, famous Indian actors that hit the scene? I gotta go. This conversation can get real dirty quick.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna chill. I don't know about
my dad's hero growing up. My dad's hero growing up was Charles Bronson.
Oh, Bronson was the fucking.
That was my dad's
he
guy.
He was crazy motherfucker.
Death Wish, my father, that guy could do no wrong.
Yeah. Because he looked like a regular old working dude.
Oh, man. He had that magnum, that pistol.
Yeah. He was the blue collar.
And that mustache. Yeah.
We used to know.
He definitely represented the angst of the era.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Charles. You're right. He was very blue collar.
He was just trying to keep to himself. Don't fuck with me. I'm just trying to get home. I don't what. Don't start no shit. Won't be. No. He was the epitome of don't start no shit.
Definitely
won't be
was
no.
The guy.
And then you ran up on him, and that was it. You had a true death wish, and he was gonna give it to you with that little fucking mustache.
I just remember being with my dad watching Death Wish. We saw all the Death Wish together. And I'm like maybe like 9 years old, and this dude would just straight up pull out a gun and just kill somebody.
Yeah.
And my dad would sit there and go, you know, that's how you
do it.
And I'm looking at my dad like, Dad, but he just
killed someone.
He just killed a guy.
that's what needed to be done. Stakes be real low.
It was brutal, man.
Fucking Death Wish. When I was an Austin, there used to be a cat that looked like Charles Bronson, this one.
White dude.
White guy. Or he might have been Latino. We couldn't tell. Because Bronson kind of had a little ambiguous.
I think he was, I think a little Native American.
Okay.
He may have.
Look like all the way. Yeah. This cat looked like him, and he used to just be out. He had like a little tight fitting members only jacket like Charles Bronson would have. This motherfucker would just walk up and down like North Island, just the whole, which is like a big street that goes through Austin. And it's like he just walk up and down throughout the day. You would just see this nigga never, every
was
time
that,
you see
was
him,
that whistle?
Walking.
Woo-hoo, like a song?
Nah,
yeah, the
but
theme
we would
song?
Just be like, oh shit, they go crazy ass Bronson. Like there's always some crazy motherfuckers. Even in my neighborhood now, there's one guy. This is some shit that I always thought about. Do you have, like you and your friends or you and your lady, you and your family, there might be somebody weird or somebody in your neighborhood that you don't really know their name, so you give them a name?
Yes,
but you give them a name.
Yes.
So there's a cat that's a weird looking dude. We call him Waldo because he looks like Where's Waldo? And this motherfucker always just be in front of the building, like looking expectantly for nobody in particular. He'll just be out, just waiting around, looking, waiting. Like, he looks like he's expecting somebody to show up, but nobody ever shows up. And then eventually he just walk back in the house.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest motherfucker ever. And he barely says what up, because he's a weirdo. You'll say what's up to him, he'll look at you. And then you go back to look, and it's like, yo,
you know
weird
me?
Motherfucker. Yeah, you weird motherfucker. Then one time I seen his ass downtown, and it's like seeing your mailman outside, like at the club or some
hilarious.
Shit. Like, he don't belong. You're like, oh, shit, they go weird ass Waldo. I still try to shout him out. His weird ass ain't returned to.
That's
like,
hilarious.
Yeah. I almost called him Waldo because I don't know his real name and shit. But shout out to Waldo.
What's funny to me is how throughout the years, the archetype of the man. Like,
yeah.
Charles Bronson was that's how you handle business.
Yeah,
okay. You know, where you tucked in shirt, nice little belt buckle.
Some good
and some
shoes.
Boots. Some nice boots.
Some hard bottoms.
That communicated, you. This guy, he's taking names.
Yeah, he ain't fucking around.
If you saw that now, you would just look at him and go, he ain't taking.
Nah, he still look like somebody I'm not fucking with. Yeah, because that shit, that little jacket looked a little too snug for, you know what I mean? He just looked like... I never fuck with people that look like they don't want no problem. Those are the people, because when you wind up getting your ass whipped by a motherfucker that didn't want no problem, it's insult to injury.
Right.
Oh, man. I had an experience. I was, I might have been in third grade or something. And I don't want to say the kid's name, but it was a cat, this young kid.
By the way, I love how your tone just changes now.
No, because it's an interesting story. It's a young kid. We was both in the same, in the same class. And we used to be friends, but for whatever reason, we had beef and we was going to fight. And it got through, everybody knew we was going to fight at 3 o'clock. You know, it's one of those 3 o'clock, everybody going to fight. So, like, school let out, we up in the courtyard, everybody ready to see the fight. I'm ready to fight this cat. I think I could beat him and shit, you know what I mean? It's going to be one of those. And I don't remember why I was so fucking mad, but I wanted to fight the cat. He didn't want to fight. So he's leaving. And, like, the crowd is kind of following him. But then the crowd dissipates because it looks like nothing's going to happen. But me, I'm still charged. I want to fight the kid. So I go to his house. Oh. Dolo. By myself, like an idiot. Go to his house. Get up. Go on the elevator. Take the elevator to the spot. I knew where he lived because I guess he used to be my homie. Knock on the door. Tap, tap, tap. Maybe this might have been the first time I've been to his house. Knock on the door. Tap, tap, tap. Door opens. It's him. But then it's his him, but he closed the door. His brother's like, yo, what happened? His big brother come out with a motherfucking German Shepherd. This is back when the German Shepherd was still like the attack. No, this is back in the early 80s. Was still some residual fear from the fucking civil rights.
Yeah.
And German Shepherd was not a fucking dog to fuck with. So his brother was like, nah, B, you ain't running from no fight. You gonna fight this motherfucker. So basically it became a 3-on-1. Like, the brother became like his corner man. And then the dog just stood just off to the side, just being scary as shit. Like, just every so often, you know what I mean? So I'm still fighting this motherfucker. And I ain't get my ass all the way whipped, but he won that. But I would have probably won if I didn't have to be distracted by the dog and his brother. Like, shoot the left, shoot the left. And
then, he was getting coached.
Yeah, he was coaching the shit out of him. Nah. Now grab him here, grab him here. It wasn't what I wanted.
How'd the fight end? Like, how did they?
The fight ended with me. I think maybe holding my eye, getting back on the elevator, and going back home. It was an L. It was an L for me. He went back in with the dog and his older brother, and I knew from then, when all people right. say they don't want it, trust them, B. Like, you don't have to push this shit. Don't, you know.
I have so many questions. So talk to me about the walk home from that incident.
Oh, it was one of those. It was one of those moments of reflection. You know what I mean? It's like, this only the only type of reflection you can get after an ass whipping. It's a certain type of clarity that you have in your life. You know your strengths and weaknesses intimately after you have just got your ass whipped. You were like, all right, I see what went wrong. You know what I mean?
Did Ward get out in school?
Nah, it was a very quiet.
It was a private.
It was very quiet. I've had two quiet ass whippings. I had that one and I had another one. And they were very quiet. It was just very discreet. This is why I'm happy that I lived before the World Star generation, because that shit could have made it on a camera phone or something. But yeah, it was one of those things. I don't even think he ever came back to school. I think it might have been towards the end of the year and he moved. I know exactly where he moved. He moved to a southern city and I never seen him again. But
so that I'm thinking with the fantasy in your head. Like, was your fantasy like, yeah, I'm going to go to his house.
beat the shit out of him.
And then keep, you know, I'm going to establish, let everybody know.
Yeah, let everybody know.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't even know what I was doing fighting like, with
what was
no
your
crowd.
End game? What was your end game?
I was just charged up. The crowd had me so hyped. Like, yeah, son. And everybody, the crowd felt so disappointed. But by the time I got to where I needed to be, there was no crowd. It was just me. And I'm like, why? And somebody,
was it in the hallway?
It was in the hallway. It was in the landing. As soon as you got up off the thing, you know, there's like a little landing before, like when you get off the elevator, there's a little landing and then you move like maybe
so
like
hilarious.
Five, six
so hilarious.
Feet away. There's various doors. And I went to his door, knocked on his door, and he opened the door, tried to close the door real quick. And his brother was like, nah, 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 nah. The brother opened the door. And it was him, the German Shepherd, and you know what I mean? And then it was on.
Such a weird thing to get a knock on the door for. You know, third grade.
That used to be the shit, though.
Yeah.
That used to be the shit. Like, it's certain different rules when you're a kid. Kids terrorize the shit out of other kids. And it's weird because it's almost like it's a different frequency, because they'll terrorize the shit out of another kid in front of other, like, parents.
Yeah.
And sometimes the parents don't understand that the kid is being terrorized.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So PTSD.
Yeah, man.
I'll tell you what, this is how you knew when I was a coward. This is how you knew, D.
Uh-oh.
When I would get into a fight with somebody,
uh-huh,
and I knew that I had the potential to potentially win the fight,
yeah,
as they were breaking us up, uh-huh, I would always say, you know where I'm at? You know where I live? You know where I'm at?
Uh-huh.
I would say my whole address. You know, 1515,
uh-huh,
you know, Box Road, you know, uh-huh, what I mean? Apartment 5D. Come
uh-huh
see me.
Uh-huh. Why would you say that?
Because it was like to let the people know that was surrounding me at the fight.
That you was.
Oh, he's about it. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, he gave him his address.
Oh, you would sell it.
I would say he gave him his address. Yeah, people were like, he ain't never running. You know,
yeah.
But if somebody I couldn't, that I didn't have a shot with, they'd break that fight up, and I'd be like, man, why are you wilding out, man? Why are you bugging out right now, yo?
Do you know where I live? I don't need you to have this information. Yeah, man. Yeah, that ass whipping is something, boy.
Whew. So your point being, don't mess with somebody who...
Yeah, when they tell you they don't want it, just let them live. Say, all right, he don't, because don't... Fear is a motherfucker.
What do you mean?
When somebody is really afraid, it's fight or flight. Like, right. You get killed. If a motherfucker really don't want to, because they could snap. They could snap. It's all adrenaline. It's all fear. Yeah. I got to stop this. However, and once you push a person to the point to where they feel super uncomfortable...
There's a bunch of clips, and you know I'm not big on the whole fighting videos thing, but there's a couple clips where they have these guys who do mixed martial arts.
Oh yeah,
and they just working. They like they're moving guys.
Yeah, come on.
And then someone tries to attack them.
Yeah,
come on, yo. And it's funny how they just like they say it a couple times, like, dude, I'm not trying to fight right now. Stop, yeah. Please. Yeah. And they get the living daylight beat out of them.
That's
dude.
The worst. When you
those just, are pretty funny actually.
You impose this ass whipping.
And the funny thing is they'll deliver the beat down and then go right back to what they were doing.
Yeah. Real sensible.
Yeah.
Real Jason Bourne, you know what I mean? Whip your ass in a real efficient manner. Maybe sit your ass in a chair to make it look like you didn't get your ass whipped. I don't fuck
put
around
some
with
sunglasses
that shit
on you.
Yeah, fuck that. Anyway, shit, man. We about to be over with 2015.
Anything it's about to be a wrap, man.
Anything you want to say to the people?
I want to say thanks for listening in 2015, y'all. Yeah. We really appreciate it, and we definitely look forward to keeping you guys in 2016 and heightening different things and getting the conversation out there, you know, at a higher level. Mm-hmm. 2015 was a good year, man.
Yeah, wasn't bad, yeah.
2015 was a good year.
It's good shit. Bigger and better, 2016.
Bigger and better, man. Just excited about it, you know. We'll see what happens with Hillary and who's going to be president, Bernie.
We'll see.
See what the weather, what's going to happen with the world global warming. What else is going on, man?
Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully Stevie won't be dabbing in 2016.
Hilarious.
Let them know where they can find you so we get up out of here.
It's New Year's, man, so I'm in the city, dude. I'm in the city this whole week. The Stand, Dangerfields, the comic strip. I'm just doing city spots. So check me out online, laughingvlad.com. And, you know, check us out, man.
All right, bet. Yeah, man, I'm around. I'm out in the world doing a few spots here and there. But yeah, if you can't find me in the streets, find me here on In the Conversation. And as always, tell a friend to tell a friend, and even your enemy too, to get in the conversation. We out.